Amen. Let's turn tonight to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Let me just read a few verses to you tonight. We're not going to cover the whole chapter. It's too important to just hurry through this chapter. This is at least a two or three sermon chapter, okay? Let's look at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." Some of the most tragic and sad verses found in the Bible. See, I really and truthfully, I don't want to leave chapter 2. I want to stay back where he's calling Eve bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and they're walking in the midst of the garden and they're having fellowship with God. But that's not the case. When we get to chapter 3, loved one, listen, they had no idea. Adam and Eve had not a clue that their entire life, the world, everything would change for them forever. You know, evolution is one of the biggest lies in the world. It's one of the biggest lies being taught in some of the finest colleges in America. Evolution is wicked. Listen, man did not begin at the bottom of the ladder. You understand? We didn't crawl out of some slimy ooze pit. You know what I'm saying. We didn't begin at the bottom of the ladder. We began at the top of the ladder and fell all the way to the bottom. And that's the Lord confirming it. You understand what I mean? Now listen, we're about to read here and look at and study about the serpent. We're going to look at the first recorded words of the wicked one, the devil. And how he is just simply introduced all of a sudden into the narrative. He's just there. He just appears. I don't understand it all. And neither does anyone else. And we're about to witness the first sin ever committed by man. Committed in a perfect environment, a perfect planet. It was perfect. And we're also about to learn the cause of temptation. We're about to learn about the devil. Now, with all that being said, let's just simply begin and just very slowly go through this text tonight. It says in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, or are you sure, Eve? Has God really said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" First of all, what we need to do is we all know who the serpent is. But for the sake of teaching the scriptures correctly tonight, let's just identify the serpent. Who is he? Well, how can we prove who he is? Because, I mean, this snake is slithered up a tree or perhaps walking on all fours, and we're going to find that he can speak. Hello. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot that we don't have in the text tonight. So who is the serpent? Well, let's let the Bible speak and tell us. You might want to write down these scriptures tonight. Revelation 12:9 tells us who the serpent is. It says, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan." And what does he do? "Who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Revelation 20 verse 2 says, He laid hold of the old dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So we can identify him. We know that the serpent is the devil. Now, how in the world did he get into the garden? And you know, you want to say, why was he even there? Because we know that God knew everything that was taking place, and yet we read it, and I tell you, this chapter is just so heartbreaking to me. How did Satan end up in the garden to begin with? Well, again, let's let the Bible tell us, and let me just read it to you. Please write it down. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 says this, "Thus saith the Lord God," speaking about the devil. He says, "You were the seal of perfection." In other words, you were created a perfect being. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Isn't that amazing? See, so many people, they try to picture the devil as something that's horrific to look at, you know, or the horns and the pitchfork and the long tail and a red suit. He doesn't look like that at all. When you think of all the world and the beauty that's in the world and the false beauty, and I mean, just watch TV, okay? I mean, walk into Dillard's and go past the, I mean, they even asked me if I want makeup now. And I could use it. I mean, it's all about, who do you think controls all of that? The world's wisdom about beauty. Now listen to what God says in Ezekiel 28:13, talking about the old serpent, the devil. He says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were the anointed cherub," meaning he was one of a kind. It says, "You're the anointed cherub who covers," or literally protects, "I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God," literally in heaven, okay? "And you walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." Lucifer, he had access to God. If we read all of Ezekiel, we'd find out that he was the one who led praise and worship in heaven. He had access to the throne. He was a one-of-a-kind, holy, anointed cherub, one who protects and one who covers. He had the closest access to the throne of God. He had it all. But the Bible continues in Ezekiel 28, God says this, "But you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." The first sin did not occur on planet Earth. Sin occurred in heaven. And it occurred by the devil, by, of course, Lucifer there, who was there and who led the worship up to the Lord and so forth. And so his sin was one of rebellion, is one of pride, if you read the whole story in Ezekiel. And somehow or another, he was able, it seems, to secure 1/3 of the angels because they fell with him. They fell into sin. They fell into the rebellion and they were cast out. That's why it says in Isaiah 14:12, it says this, "How you are fallen from heaven," meaning fallen down to earth, "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations." So the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the father of every lie, the devil, he's in the garden. And look at the first description of him that's given in Scripture. It says he is what? More cunning. What does that mean? It means he is crafty. He is sly. He is shrewd. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He's still working on this planet. Amen? Oh, how we need to understand his methods and what he does. We need to beware of the wiles of the devil. You know, I encourage you to do what the Word of God says every day, and that is for you to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Not just part of the armor of God, put on every piece of the armor. Because I promise you that every day, the powers of darkness, they hate you, they want to destroy you, and they can't. They are actually anemic and weak because of what Christ did on the cross. Amen? But you see, they fooled mankind. The whole world is deceived. We don't want to be deceived. And yet there's so much deception in the church of the living God. Do you know that I heard today, and I was trying to find the article, maybe you read it. I believe it was in Christianity Today. I was listening to KDKR and there was a talk show going on, and just briefly, and they mentioned that now in some colleges, that I believe it was Christianity Today, and some of the colleges, you know, they can go and, for example, if you interview them, you're going to send your kid there, whatever, your child, you know, and Do you believe in the virgin birth? Yes. You know, do you believe in the resurrection? Yes. You know, and so forth. And all the things that we believe in. But they never ask him about other things. And evidently this report that was in Christianity Today was talking about how most Bible colleges, or a lot of them today, and universities, they don't believe the first two verses of Genesis chapter 1. It's amazing, isn't it? They don't even believe in the six literal days of creation. They're now saying that they think that Adam and Eve was basically mythical. It's amazing, isn't it? How far away we are getting from the Word of God, and how the world is watering down the Word of God, and even some colleges that claim to be Christian are now watering down God's Word, saying it's not important. Let me tell you what, it is important, because if you don't understand the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you're in deep trouble. And that's why Genesis chapter 3 is so important, because we have the first of so many things occurring here. And especially the first temptation, identifying, like I said, the serpent. So we need to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That we'll be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the wicked one. And let me tell you, he has a lot of smooth strategies today. You know, it says that in the Bible that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against rulers and against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the Bible tells us who our enemy isn't. It's not one another. Yet look in the church today, maybe even in our fellowship, how much problems there are, the gossiping and the backbiting and all the horrible things, you know, and the strife. We're not fighting against one another. Listen, you're not my problem and I'm not your problem. We're not to fight against one another, amen? We know who's behind it. He's so smooth. He's such a deceiver. He's the serpent, and he is more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord God has made. So our greatest enemy, loved one, is not what we see. It's not flesh and blood. It's what we don't see. Now, you may be saying, well, Bill, the truth of the matter is Eve was right there in front of him, and Eve saw that old serpent. Yes, she did. But do you think that she knew it was the wicked one? No. Listen, the first temptation, Satan, when he entered into the garden and entered into human history, he came disguised, if you will. Not sure I understand all of that, but he came disguised as a serpent. He didn't show up to Eve and say, hey, Eve, you know, I heard you, that little love song that your husband was singing to you last chapter, you know, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and my name is Mr. Devil. I'm actually here in this serpent outfit, and I'm here to deceive you because I've come to steal, kill, and destroy. Does Satan show up at your house like that? No. If he did, it'd be easy to shut the door on him, wouldn't it? No, he's a deceiver. She didn't know at all what was going on. He, like I said, he comes always disguised himself. The Bible tells us this about the serpent. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, for Satan himself transforms, or that word means disguises or masquerades. He transforms himself into an angel of light. That is the only description of the devil in the Bible. We know a lot of adjectives, but this, he says, he transforms himself into an angel of light. So he is on a mission, and his first mission is 100% successful. Just think, there's only two people on the planet, and he's 100% successful with both of them. Why? Because he is a master of disguise, and temptation never comes to you unless it's disguised. Are you understanding? Listen to me. He will do anything and everything he can to disguise himself and the powers of darkness to deceive you. He wants to deceive you. So he's the master of disguise. He'll do anything to deceive you, anything to deceive the world, anything to deceive you in your marriage. He'll do everything possible to do that. You know, the world is one big disguise. Amen? The things of this world, the things that are passing away. You know, when I was in Mexico this last trip, I had a dream. And it was the strangest dream that I've ever had in my entire life. And It was so real. I guess all dreams are, but you know, this dream was so real. And I don't know how to explain it except I could hear it. Do you know how it is when you go into, say, a restaurant, but it's so loud and there's everybody's talking, but you don't know what they're talking about? You just hear a roar. You follow me? So you hear it, but it's kind of deafening and it's really hard to eat and you have to yell at one another while you eat. Okay. All right. We've all been to that same place. Okay. Now, well, that's in my dream. I heard all of the noises over the entire earth, all at one time. I heard every little bird crying out for its mother to bring breakfast or dinner. You understand? I heard the cows mooing and the whales singing. And I heard, the worms going through the earth. It was incredible. I heard every sound of man, every cry of a person being tortured or hurt or the battle that's going on in different places. I heard everything. I heard all the prayers of all. It was amazing. And as I heard all of that, it became, in my dream, I saw pages and all of the noises from all over the earth and all the prayers and all the birds and all the animals and everything in the sea and the wind blowing through the trees and the thunder, the lightning, everything became notes on a page of a symphony. Are you following me? Like, you know, music notes, like you've seen a conductor and how they're reading the notes off to all the people. Are you still following me? And I heard all of it, and all of a sudden, everything made sense. And all of the horrible things that were happening all over the world, and the good things that were happening all over all of that, all of a sudden, it became a symphony. It was in perfect harmony. Are you following me? And I was listening to it, and I went, I understand, Lord. And then as you see a conductor, you know, he has the stick there, you know what I mean? And then you know how they turn the pages, you know, as they're doing it? Well, I saw a hand go under the page, and when they turned it, it was only a half a page of music left. And I said to myself as I woke up, I said, Lord, is the song about over? I don't really know, and I don't even know why I shared that with you, to be honest with you, except it was so real. Can I tell you that God's in control tonight? That no matter what we are facing, no matter what we feel like, we could be ill in our body or we could just feel great in our body. We could have a dollar in our pocket or $1,000 in our pocket. I'm telling you that God is in control and we need to look to Him. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen? That's who we look to. We are the bride of Christ. We're saints of God, set apart, holy, blameless, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We will never be defeated, never. Oh, it may look like it, it may feel like it, but I tell you, there's a separation coming, the wheat and the tares. I'm telling you, those who are troublemakers in the church, all those things, there's getting ready to be a separation and a cleansing. God is so good. He's our Father. Just like, you know, a dad in the house, you put up with the kids so long, you understand? And then finally you say, okay, that's it. And what do? You take out that belt, some of you, and you just wear them out and say, now that's enough. I believe that may be coming. The object of the serpent, the object of his attack is so important tonight to me. I understand it in a way, not that I know anything more than anybody else, but what was the object of Satan's temptation, Satan's attack? It says in chapter 3, verse 1, he said to the, what? Woman. He said to the woman. The woman was the object of his attack. Let me ask you a question. Where in the world was Adam? What was he doing? Was he asleep underneath some tree eating a banana? Or what was he trying to name some more animals? I mean, what was he doing? He wasn't there and Eve was alone. And I'll tell you something. That's what the tempter, the serpent does. He loves to get people alone. He loves for people to be isolated. He loves for a Christian to stay away from church, to stay away from prayer, to stay away from the Word of God, to stay away from one another. He likes to get you alone and then keep you alone. He loves to divide. He loves to conquer. You'll find that right now in chapter 3, he's going to separate what? Adam and Eve from God in fellowship. Then in chapter 4, he's going to separate a man from man. He's always trying to divide. He's always trying to conquer. But here's the thing about his temptation. It never changes. What we're going to learn tonight is that what he did then, he's still doing today, so we can know what to do. Now listen, Eve was totally unaware, I believe that with all my heart, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:3 about Eve, it says, the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Now listen, I don't believe for a minute that Satan was after Eve. I don't believe that. I believe with all my heart that he used Eve to get to Adam. Why? Because Adam was the first created. And you know what? If you study your Bibles correctly, male headship, I'm not talking about dictatorship, or not that, headship, something that God has given, male headship goes all the way back to creation. That's God's divine order. He's the one that put it in place. He doesn't favor men over women and all that kind of stuff. That's not true. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:13, it says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. God deliberately formed Adam first. Now, Adam didn't ask for it. There's a lot of things that men have to do today, biblically, that we didn't ask for. Is that okay? All right. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:8, I hope you're writing these scriptures down. It says, for man is not from woman. In other words, we didn't originate from the woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived, the woman being deceived, fell into transgression. What is a transgression now? Remember, it means to cross the line. God says, here's a line, I'm drawing it. This is a command, don't cross over. You cross over, you've transgressed. You've broken the word of God. You've sinned against Almighty God. So Eve was totally deceived. Adam was not deceived. He willfully gave up his authority to the wicked one. Now listen, women, let me say something to you tonight. And I say this as tenderly as I can. I just want to show you something. And when we go back to creation, there's all these first. And we always want to go back there and start our journey in our study of the Bible. So the first person ever attacked on the planet was who? A woman. Isn't that amazing? Satan's first attack was against a woman. The first person ever tempted on planet Earth was a woman. Think about that for a minute. The first person deceived on Earth was a woman. The first person ever lied to on the planet, or the first lie ever told, was told to a woman. And the first lie that was ever believed was believed by a woman. Bill, are you picking on me? No, I'm not picking on you at all, but I want to show you something. Satan, the serpent, is a deceiver. And ladies, listen to me. Eve lived in a perfect world. She had no knowledge of sin, or she never woke up on a Monday or a Sunday or whatever and said, I wonder if God loves me. She didn't go through any of that. She didn't have that kind of thinking at all. She was deceived. Satan attacked the woman first, and it's heartbreaking. And the reason I say that is that you need to beware of lies today, because he is still attacking you. I heard a woman say the other day that, you know, I just don't have time for children. And that's okay. Maybe she doesn't need to have children. But you know what? Being a mother is one of the greatest gifts that God could ever give a person. You know that? To be a godly mother, to be a godly example, where would we be without mothers? Oh, beware of Satan's lies. I tell you, you are a co-heir with Christ. Amen? You have giftings just like a man has giftings, all right? God doesn't say this is a female gifting and this is a male gifting, okay? No. Listen, very, very important. And Satan is still lying today. I stand amazed every time I walk through a mall. I just was in a mall the other day, and that's probably why I'm thinking about this. And I mean, you know that women have to look a certain way. Ladies, let me ask you, don't you just get tired of that? Listen, go eat a banana split tonight. Eat two of them, amen? Just do it. You know, why would you want to live your life like, nobody, I mean, these women, I've never seen people that skinny in my life unless I was in a third world country. You know, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and, you know, it was okay to be a little chunky. Don't believe the lies of the devil. I have to starve myself, or I have to look a certain way. And, you know, that's a lie. God made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And just say, Lord, made me, you know, and settle it right there. Don't believe the lies of the world. You know, I was talking with Sister Elma, and there was so much violence that it was so amazing there in Mexico. How, you know, when I told her, I said, Elma, I said, I don't feel the Lord wants me to cross, and I want to go across. And she nearly started crying. She said, oh, Bill, thank you. She said, I was so afraid you can't cross today. And I said, well, why? She said, but I was afraid to tell you because if I told you, I thought that maybe you would be upset with me. I said, Elma, if I'm not supposed to cross, sweetie, I'll never be upset with you. I mean, they had beheaded a person right there on the bridge. I mean, it was horrible. The cartel was shutting off power in all different parts of the city, off and on, at random to show that they have control. It's like Pastor Thomas mentioned in the Sunday sermon about those poor 14 children, teenagers that they found dead in their car that they had harvested their body parts. My God, what's wrong with the world? I'll tell you, the devil. Unbelievable. That's why she said, I want you to put everything on hold until further notice. I said, Elma, you're the boss. You just tell me what and I'll tell them. You know, we want to beware of the lies. You know, talking about women, you know, that's like this beautiful little girl. She's been there for 4 years. She's not little now. She's about 15, I believe. And she was one of my favorites down there. She just had a heart. She would, man, at the orphanage, she was always leading the girls in prayer. She's a leader. And she left. And I said, Elma, what happened with her? And you know what happened was that the cartel, every day as she would go to school, see, off premises, she'd go to school, they were tempting her and tempting her and tempting her with drugs and money and all these things. She finally went over and said, I'll go and be with you. And she told Elma, she said, the next time I see you, I'm going to be very rich. And I'm saying, oh, sweetie, you're probably going to be dead. How we need to pray for those children. The cartel, and I don't want to get off, I'm trying to preach this message, but you know, the thing is they're using the teens down there. It's horrible, the things that are occurring. We need to be praying every day for Mexico. Amen? Every day for that orphanage. Now, let's get back to what we're doing here. Look at verse 1 again. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, isn't it amazing? God never said that. God never said, has God said you'll not eat of every tree? No. What did God say over back in chapter 2 of verses 16 and 17? He said, you can freely eat of every tree of the garden except one. Amen? So already Satan is talking to her and deceiving her. And so this is his first recorded words. He still got it all messed up. You know, he's questioning the integrity of God's word. You know what Satan wants to do? He comes to steal the word of God out of a person's heart. He wants to choke it out with the cares of this world and the things of this world. Listen, Eve had never, never doubted God. Are you listening to me? She had never, ever doubted God's word ever. Satan came to do what? He attacked her mind just like he attacks our mind. He wants you to doubt the word of God. He doesn't want you to believe the word of God. He says, okay, well, yeah, you might know the word of God. Oh, he's going to provide all of my needs. Okay, to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All right, well, you know it. I don't want you to believe it at all. Don't hold on to that promise. Don't believe the one who spoke it. That's what the devil does. He wants to create that doubt. Has God indeed said, are you sure, Eve? Are you sure that promise belongs to you? Are you sure this is what God said? Were you there? Were you there with Adam whenever God told Adam that? Do you know that? Do you have it right? He said, and the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. The fruit of the tree. We don't know what that fruit of the tree was. Now, when I was a little boy, they said it was an apple. That's how you know you have your Adam's apple. Remember that? Let me ask you a question, and I don't know the answer. So let me just put it this way. I don't know why in verse 2 here, that Eve added, nor shall you touch it, because that's not what God said. She added to the word of God. And another thing is, I don't know why she altered God's word, because it says there, it says, touch it, lest you die. God didn't say, lest you die. He said, you will surely die. So there was already something happening here in verse 2 that I can't explain to you. And then the serpent said to the woman in verse 4, well, you will not surely die. What does Satan just do? What did he do? He's removing the barrier of sin or the consequences. Oh, no, no, no. You're not going to die. There's no punishment, Eve, if you eat. Oh, my goodness. That's the first lie. You know what Satan did? Satan just called God a liar right here in this verse. Now, listen to me, Christian. Eve had never heard a lie before. Are you listening to me? Can you imagine for a minute going through your life and no one ever telling a lie before? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, a lie, just she heard a lie for the first time. Now, I'm not trying to say that Eve was naive or any of that. I'm saying that she was deceived. And I'm telling you that she loved the Lord, but she was simply deceived. I mean, can you imagine how it was when that lie hit her mind for the first time ever in her life? She questioned God. She questioned God's word. And that's exactly what Satan does to us today. He wants you to question God's word. He wants you to question God's promises. He wants you to walk in unbelief because he knows that unbelief is a thief. He knows that you can never enter into any of the promises of God or walk in the promises of God without believing them. He understands that. He knows that. He's the father of lies. So he's basically saying in her mind for the first time, Eve, what do you really believe? He says in verse 5, let me start back in verse 4. He says, the serpent said to the woman, oh, you'll not surely die. Verse 5, for God knows, he knows something. He's holding out on you, Eve. For God knows that in the day, literally the very second, the very moment that you eat, your eyes will be open. Eve, here's the problem. You know, you look like a pretty good old girl, but you're just really kind of blind. You don't really see things clearly. You're just in trouble. You need your eyes to be open. And if so, it says, look what's going to happen. He says, you eat and your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Self-rule. Satan's lying to her. You're going to be like God. Eve, what's wrong with being like God? Well, you love God, don't you? What's wrong with being like Him? There can't be anything wrong with being like Him. He says, oh no, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The temptation always promises you something. Temptation always promises you an advantage. Here, Eve, your eyes will be open. Temptation always insinuates that your life will be improved. Temptation tells you that there will be an instant change if you only do it. Here, you will be like God. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, look what she did. She took of its fruit, she ate. Now listen, Eve just became a sinner. Are you listening to me? She just became a sinner. And she also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Oh, Eve, you are Adam's helpmate. You're his helpmate, and look what she's done. And he ate. Adam just lost it all. This is the fall, what we call the fall of mankind, right here. It says, so when the woman saw, something just happened right there. So when Eve, for the first time ever, she now stepped over and said, and she considered disobeying God. What deception. Boy, the tree looks good. Oh man, this is an awesome looking tree. It's good for food. There's nothing wrong with this food. And it's awesome to look at. And you know what? It's going to make me a better person. I'm going to be wise. In other words, the attack has never changed. It was outward. So what happened? It's always going to be physical. It's always going to be emotional. It's always going to be intellectual. His attacks and his strategy has never and will never change. This is his method. It's just they come in different packages and that's all. And look at the results. And then the eyes of them were opened. Oh, that's so sad, isn't it? They had never been in bondage before in their life. They didn't know what bondage was. They were actually living in total freedom, okay? And now it says their eyes were open, their entire world is changing, And they knew, that what a sad word, they knew what? They knew for the first time what good and evil was. That they were what? Naked. They lost something. I'm going to talk about this next week, about what they lost and that holiness, that something that was covering them. And it says they were naked and they, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. It's interesting that that's the only tree mentioned in the garden, the name. A fig tree. It says what? Fig leaves. So it's interesting that that's the only tree mentioned in the garden. And what was the tree that was cursed over in Matthew chapter 21, I believe it was? What tree did Jesus curse? The fig tree. Very interesting. And why did he curse that fig tree? It was because of the religion of the Pharisees. It was external. It wasn't real anymore. There was no living relationship that was going on. So what Satan promised, it had come to pass. Their eyes were definitely open, but it's not what they expected. So for the first time, think about it now. I mean, how many times have you felt shame in your life or guilt? Well, for the first time ever in their life, the new emotion of shame, this new emotion of guilt came into their heart and they realized that they weren't gods. No, Satan had become their master. Are you listening to me? Satan was now in authority. He's the one who is now in control. So here is the first religion being established, okay? It, right before our eyes is the first attempt by man to remedy his own guilt. And what does he do? He goes, Eve, listen, we don't have any clothes on. I don't know what all that means. They're seeing each other the way they really were. They lost the fellowship of God. They lost the holiness, the Shekinah glory. I don't know. They lost something. And they saw one another in a different way that they had never seen before. And they took fig leaves. And instead of confessing their sin, they covered their sin. A fig leaf can never remedy shame. Amen? That's called religion. It's external. And they had separated themselves from God. So they covered their sin rather than confessing it. It's amazing that there was only one restriction in the garden. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat it freely of every other tree. One command in all the earth. That's all that was there. One commandment. And isn't it amazing that Satan went to that one command from God? He didn't go to any other tree. He didn't try to lure Eve to any other place. Only to the place where he could deceive her. Why? Because he hates God. And he hates you. He hated Eve. He hated Adam. He hates everyone. He doesn't want you to obey and trust in God's Word. You know, next week I want to talk in depth about this, but God knows what's best for us. Amen? Now, obviously, all of the church, every Christian doesn't believe that, because if they did, they would be having marriage God's way. Amen? They would be doing what the Word of God says. When you have a problem with somebody, you don't run to me, you run, oh, I've got a problem with that person. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible says for you to go to that person. No, I want you to go take care. I'm not going to take it. I'm going to do what God says. You go to that person. You have. They haven't sinned against me. If they sinned against you, you go to them. You see, we need to do what God says, because God tells us what to do, because He has the right to tell us what to do, because He created us. But more than that, we don't know how to live. We don't know how to live right. We don't know how to live holy. We need God's Word, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. And when we do them, we have peace. It may not feel good to do them all the time. It may not feel good to turn the other cheek. It may not feel good to pray for those who curse you and despise you and speak all manner of evil against you for His name's sake. But boy, when you do it, it works. Amen? So there was only that one restriction. And it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, what did they do? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And you know what? That's what religion does. That's what man has been doing. Man has been doing and running and hiding from God ever since the garden. And the next verse, which I'm not going into because we're going to pick up verse 7 next week. But the thing is that right here in the next verse, fear for the first time comes into the heart of Adam and Eve. They never had fear before. Now they're afraid. And now God is coming for a visit. But see, Adam and Eve, their eyes were open. They had now become wise. And what did they do? Oh, yeah, they were really wise. What did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Where? Among the trees of the garden. So the work of the devil was finished. You can never obtain wisdom by disobedience from God's word. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let me ask you a question in the few minutes that we have, very important. What caused the temptation? What was the cause of the temptation? I mean, you know, I hear people say, well, it was God. God's the one who kicked him out of heaven. He landed right there in the garden. You know, God didn't have to give a command. He didn't have to put the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there. I mean, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give just one single command. Why? This was God's fault. No, God doesn't do that. God's not at fault here. How do I know that? Let's turn tonight as we conclude. Turn to James chapter 1, and let's look at just a few verses. James chapter 1, look at verse 12. Let's look at what caused the temptation. Did God cause this temptation? We'll find out right now. It says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved or tested, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, look what it says in verse 13. Let no one say in his heart, let no one say in his mind, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Why? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now listen, God certainly may test us in our life, but God never tempts us. And loved one, listen, God never uses sin as a test. Are you following me? Oh, God never does that. God delivers us from sin. He doesn't want us to participate in it. Adam had become wise. So what did he do? He tried to justify his behavior. Just listen, let me read verse 12 of Genesis 3. He says this, and we'll be on this next week, but he says, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And then God says, oh, I got it now. Now that clears up everything. Thank you, Adam. No, what was Adam doing? He was trying to justify his behavior. It's that woman you gave me. I mean, you know, I didn't ask for her. I was happy. I was happy naming all the animals. And you may say, well, no, it's the devil's fault. Well, the devil is the source of every temptation. You hear me? He is definitely the source of temptation. But you know what? The devil can only tempt you. You have to give in to the temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin, though, to give in. And I'll tell you something else. We don't need the devil to sin, do we? We're pretty good sinners without that, wouldn't you say? Yes, absolutely. Look at verse 14 now. But to each one, in other words, each one is tempted when he is drawn away. How are we drawn away? Look at this now. By his own desires, his own cravings, his own lust, his own desires, and enticed. Temptation has a process, loved one. And that's exactly what the devil did there in the garden. It says, but to each one is tempted when he is, number one, when he is drawn away. That means you're drawn to something. Hey, Eve, look at this fruit here. It looks pretty good, doesn't it? Hey, it's good food. It's good to eat. There's nothing wrong with it. In other words, that's the bait. Again, it's not a sin to be tempted, you know. And so here, what drives us to the temptation? It says, first, we're drawn away. How are we drawn away? It says, by his own desires, or by literally our own longings, our own lust. And the third thing that happens, it says, and enticed. What does that mean? The enticement is the bait. Now listen, when you go fishing, or if you are a fisherman, you just don't put a bare hook in the water, do you? That's what I do. It doesn't work. No, you don't just say, well, let's go fishing. Throw that hook out there and you wait. Well, there's not anything biting. And the fish goes, that's right, you're a moron, you know. No, what do? You get a big piece of slimy worm or something to slide on that, or some kind of stinking catfish, whatever it is that you... And you hide the hook. You entice it. You put something enticing on it. And that's what the devil tries to do for us. Now listen, they said they were going to die. God says you're going to die if you do those things. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Adam and Eve knew what death was? I don't think so at all. We're going to find out next week that what death actually was. Now listen, look at verse 15. It says, then when desire has conceived... That's an incredible word there, by the way. The word conceived, it means, in a sense, to become pregnant. So in other words, when you have an inward desire joined with an outward temptation, it becomes pregnant. And what does it do? It says when it's conceived, it gives what? Birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Death. The devil wants you, he wants me to live independent from God. He wants us to think that we're our own people, our own man. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man. Listen, I'll tell you something. I need God more today than I ever have needed Him in my life. I need Him more. I need His power, His strength, His wisdom, His guidance, His love, His grace, His joy. I need it more today than I've ever needed it in my life. And the older I get, the more I need, the more I understand. The more I see the world for what it really is, the more I see the temptations and the traps and it makes you, in a way, God forgive me, but it makes you kind of want to just hide away sometimes and say, Lord, it's just too much. You can grow weary in well-doing, loved one. All of us need to be renewed daily, refreshed daily, encouraged daily, loved daily. Listen, we don't have time. We don't have time to be hurting one another, condemning one another, speaking evil of one another. We don't have time for that, amen? We don't have time for that. You know, next week, I'm going to make a statement next week, if I remember. I probably won't remember knowing me, but I believe that if we would get back to Eve there and Adam and Eve with what they lost, because yes, we're in Christ now, amen? Our sins are, oh, thank God we're forgiven. Thank God our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we could get back to a certain stage in our life, instead of covering our sin, but really confessing our sin, I believe God would truly bring revival back to this nation, back to the church. Oh, God, do we need that tonight? I'm telling you, we need that tonight. If we've ever needed revival, we need it now. And you know what else we need? We need to be re-motivated. Some of you, loved one, you don't even want to wake up in the morning. You wake up, you used to get up at 5 o'clock, and I mean, you jump out of that bed, you were ready for the day, you were ready for your quiet time, you were ready for your devotional, you were ready. And you walked out of that door ready. But some of you have grown so weary. And you need to be re-motivated. You understand? You need to say, I am going to get back. I want to be up and running again. Are you following me? And saying, I just want to be up and running again. I want that same surge of energy. I want that clarity of mind again. I believe this is going to be a summer where we are re-motivated. I'm serious. I have written that down on my desk in my study at home. Lord, re-motivate us. Let there be a spring in our step again. Let there be a surety in our step again. Let there be a resolve in our hearts and where we stand and we know what we're standing for and we know who we're standing with. Amen? The tempter. Aren't you glad that we have overcome him tonight because we're in the Lamb of God?